Please pray with me. Holy Spirit of God, take our minds and think through them. Take these words and speak through them and set our hearts on fire for love of you. Amen. Please be seated. Midway through high school, I had my first real job outside of the home. I say outside of the home because my childhood was during an era when parents saw that one of the benefits of having children was the availability of cheap labor source. And my parents took full advantage of that parental privilege. But eventually I was able to get a higher paying job, one where I worked during summers anywhere from 40 to 70 hours a week. I became a lifeguard. Despite the fact that I'd been around swimming pools all my life, this first job, like most first jobs, supplied quite a learning curve. I learned lessons like getting to work on time, being respectful to the public, doing your job so you don't let down your teammates, and focusing on the task at hand because sometimes people's lives were at stake. But one day in early June, things got a bit more challenging. I couldn't figure out the daily instructions posted in the lifeguard's room. I'd been able to follow these daily missives since I started, but the tone and vocabulary used in these instructions began to get strange and a bit confusing. For instance, the note started with something along these lines. A long time ago, in a municipal pool far, far away, the Republic of Lifeguards were surrounded and threatened by hordes of suntan, lotion, slimy younglings clamoring for freedom from parental oversight and aquatic security. In these posted notes from our managers, the guards were sometimes referred to as stormtroopers, other times as something called Jedis. And these posted daily instructions ended with this strange phrase, "May the force be with you." By the time I went with some of my coworkers to see this new movie called Star Wars, they had already seen it several times. That was such a formative summer for me in so many different ways. Not the least was the initiation into the fandom of Star Wars. Even though I never dressed up as a Star Wars character, well, except for being a stormtrooper in the drama club skit the next fall, and even though I never acknowledged or even knew of the annual May 4th celebration of all things Star Wars called May the 4th Be With You, despite all this, my friends and family have always accused me of having drunk the Star Wars Kool-Aid that summer. But I never looked at it like that. For me, it was a kind of baptism. I joined something larger than me, a kind of community that had a particular vocabulary, acted in a particular way, who enjoy getting together and talking about our heroes, Luke, Leia, Han Solo, and Chewbacca. And we all had the same goal of wanting to be eventually hyper-driven into another galaxy, another world, far, far away. Baptism, like Star Wars movies, has always meant different things to different people. I've always thought of myself as being somewhere in the middle of the continuum of Star Wars fandom, far removed from those who attend Comic-Con every year dressed as a patron from Mos Eisley's cantina, and far removed from those who sniff at the talk of Wookiees, lightsabers, and the Force. who merely enjoy the movie and that's that. Yes, the range of Star Wars fandom is broad. But baptism, it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? We get our children baptized, or we get baptized to join the church, right? Believe it or not, and despite the story of the baptism of Jesus by John being so important that it is in all four canonical Gospels, the actual meaning of baptism has had a variety of understandings over the millennia. The biblical evidence suggests that Christian baptism is for repentance. It is a sign of faith in Jesus as God's Messiah, and it is the initiation rite for joining a community of disciples whose mediator of salvation is Jesus. Scripture also reveals baptism as the means by which Christians receive the Holy Spirit and the way in which followers of Jesus participate in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through the millennia, these and other biblical interpretations of baptism have varied in importance and been shaped by cultural contexts and theological influences of the time. Today, we have inherited all these various meanings. So perhaps it is sufficient and important to summarize that the life of the people of God is still ordered around baptism. Or at the very least, at the very most, it is baptism that we become members of the church. We become members of the body of Christ. We are mystically linked to Christ himself. Our baptism is the foundation of all of the Christian life and the Christian ministry, both lay ministry and ordained ministry. Yes, our lives are to be centered around and grounded by our baptism. The 1979 Book of Common Prayer recovered the centralized role of the sacrament of baptism just as it was in the early days. Not just in the lives of young and those new converts to the Christian faith, but in the fact that baptism is to be central in all of our lives. Baptism is not just a one-time event. Through the recitation of the baptismal covenant within the baptismal liturgy and the renewal of baptismal vows at the Easter vigil and other vigils, other liturgies, just like we'll do in a few minutes throughout the year, we are attesting to the fact that baptism is not just about joining the church, but that baptism is also about discipleship. For each time we recite the vows included in the baptismal covenant, we recommit ourselves to the serious obligations that go with following Christ, to being disciples of Jesus. Those obligations include study of the Bible, being in fellowship with those in the church, participating in the sacraments of the church, and having an active prayer life. We recognize that when we fall into sin, and baptism and discipleship do not make us perfect, but when we do sin, disciples will repent and return to the Lord. And we affirm that we will live our lives differently with God's help, proclaiming by word and deed the good news of God in Christ, seeking to serve Christ in all persons, and working for God's justice and peace for all people. All of this is the work of Christians, the work of the disciples of Jesus Christ. In the second Star Wars movie in the original trilogy, The Empire Strikes Back, Jedi Master Yoda says in his peculiar manner, "Do or not do, there is no try." That is the choice that faces all Christians. We can be baptized, maybe even attend services on a somewhat regular basis, and that's pretty much it. But there is a choice, a call on all of the baptized. Will we live as disciples of Jesus or not? do or not do. There is no middle ground when it comes to being disciples of Jesus. In a few minutes earlier this morning, we had parents of young children and some young people make promises to follow Jesus. And as disciples of Jesus, our role is to support them and show them the way that following Jesus is a lifelong commitment of prayer, worship, study, and service. Do or not do, there is no try. Amen.